What's up? It's your girl Lo with Why So Serious Sports Vlog, where we're bringing you uncut, unfiltered, and raw sports commentary to a wide range of sports. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Why So Serious ATL. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel at that same handle. You can go ahead and follow me, one of your hosts, at 404_my_city. We're bringing you, again, funny, raw, regal commentary to sports. Sports is not boring. It's fun and exciting. So why shouldn't the people that's reporting on it? So don't forget to follow us, shout us out, like and comment, and subscribe to everything. Thanks.
We're the unofficial podcast of Falcons Twitter. We have a lethal saint, aka Jif Queen, Jalen Muhammad, the GOAT, and Colts expert / closet Falcons fan, Marcus Sniffles. What is poppin'?
Another day in paradise.
Stop lying.
It's paradise. What's paradise? I'm getting into paradise. It's just a lot to like move your whole life. You know what I'm saying? So a little stressed because of that long ass drive, but I'll be getting to paradise in like a week.
Jalen, what's been going on with you, man? Life is good. What's popping?
Sure. No, right. I'm not gonna compound on it too much or talk about it, but life goes on.
Facts. Marcus, what's been going on with you?
Ain't nothing. Trying to keep these Falcons fans accountable. That's all I'm trying to do out here. Keep them out.
Yeah, get this man out of here.
That's a full-time job.
They got here wilding all day.
It's 24/7, 365, man. Like, they don't know that. Anywho, so we're going to jump right into it, man. I know a lot of the Falcons fanatics are excited because reports come out that Vic Beasley is on the trade block. Yes, man. Rejoice.
Rejoice.
I'm not happy.
It's
embarrassing. I'm not happy. I said, I'm not happy.
Marcus, what were you saying?
I said it's embarrassing that people are celebrating the idea of the top 10 pick being on the trading block on his rookie deal still. It's embarrassing.
Jif Queen, what do you think, man?
Marcus acts like that's our fault. We didn't pick him. Did we pick him? We did not pick him. Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff picked him. That's not our fault. So,
I was told that Dan Quinn was part of the process of picking players too. So it falls on him too.
You know what's crazy about that? He's probably still like one of either the first or second best pass rusher in that class.
That's sad. That is not saying a lot.
So pretty much anything we would have picked that year in terms of pass rush just wouldn't have turned out well. So,
see,
Didn't y'all get Grady Jarrett that year?
Yeah, but he's more. I'm talking about like on the edge. I'm not talking about interior rushers.
Okay.
And Grady was the best, I think, interior rusher in that class anyway. There's a bunch of good ones, but I think Grady's better.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's sad that people are celebrating the idea that they're literally going to get nothing for a top 10 pick that they had on their team. Like, because I don't think you're not going to get anything. Not anything worth the value for this guy.
And anything you get back is value.
Is it, though?
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah.
With that GM, is it, though? Like,
yes.
How?
We could do this anytime. We're moving on.
So,
Something is better than nothing.
That is a good point that he brings up. What do we think that we could potentially get for Vic Beasley? Because I posted out a tweet with a picture of Joker saying the face the Falcon fans are going to make when nobody actually trades for Vic Beasley. Like,
I think if you get any pick, you're looking fine about it. I don't think it's going to happen, and I don't want it to happen technically, because then you're just, not doing anything of worth. And you actually, let's say he actually does really well this week or whatever, then you up his trade value, maybe. And even if you don't re-sign him, then, you have a player that you can use the rest of the season. and that's fine. You're not going to sign anybody who's going to make a huge impact anyway right now. So might as well just keep him on the contract because you're going to have to pay for it anyway.
Well, you brought up the point of him potentially playing good this week, but what do you think the odds of that happening are now that his name has been floated out there on the trading block? Like, that kind of is probably going to kill whatever little or any motivation he had left to actually perform, right?
I don't think he's suffering from a lack of motivation, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, whatever is left in the tank, like, that kind of – in my head, is like, hey, y'all don't want me here anyway. It's like, why am I going to give my – whatever effort I have to give for a team that does not want me? You know what I'm saying?
Same reason why people in the preseason do it. You know, somebody might like what you see and getting offer you something for that.
It's a different situation, though. But
Is it? We're 1-5. Is it really a different situation?
Because at that point, he's already signed to the roster. Like, those other guys are like fighting for their like NFL career.
And Vic isn't right now?
Vic is already paid, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he leaves today, like, I would hope if his money's right, he'd be fine. Those guys that are trying to make a 53-man roster, it's like, yo, I got to do whatever I got to do to get on the team, make a flash, make an impact, impress somebody. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
Okay. So what are we thinking? You're thinking any pick that we get for Vic, even though you don't want that to happen, is positive, correct?
Yes. Anything you get for anybody, and you don't let them walk for nothing. I've learned a lot from watching the Hawks over the years. Anything you can get for a player that you're not going to keep in the first place is positive value.
Okay, fair enough. Giff, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, on Twitter earlier, I said that we should get a peach drink, a hot lemon pepper 10-piece combo with crispy fries. And Lolo from Why So Serious Sports Vlog said that was too much. We should trade him for boneless wings. So, you know, I mean, I thought my deal was better because at least we get some crispy fries and some hot, you know, lemon pepper wings. But she said boneless wings. So I don't know. I'll take anything we can get is fine with me. I mean, we could get a pack of ramen noodles, you know, just that 79-cent pack, and I'll be okay with that because, you know, something is better than nothing.
Yeah, somebody suggested a number one Chick-fil-A was probably about all we could get for a
video. That was me, I think, too.
Yeah.
See, everybody, as well. people just have this, like, weird, like, stigma around Vic that I just don't understand, but, like,
I said it. I don't know if I said it on here or on Twitter. He is the whipping boy for the Atlanta Falcons defense.
Like, you know who else didn't record a stat yesterday?
That's what I'm saying. Like, anybody else that plays bad is kind of left unscathed. They're actually surprisingly starting to turn on attack now, which I am shocked. Like, they're like, get his ass out of here, too.
About time.
Like, anything that could happen, it's like, oh, it's Vic Beasley's fault. Isaiah Oliver gets burnt. Oh, it's Vic Beasley's fault. The defense gives up 53 points. Oh, Vic Beasley should have got one sack. I'm like, Doc, come on, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's unfair to have high expectations for a top 10 pick, though. Like,
nobody has had any high expectations from Vic Beasley since that 2016 season. Maybe, the next season, everybody's like, yo. Like,
I didn't have high expectations for that. I was thinking, because what they did towards the middle of that season was they started playing him at linebacker where he probably should be. And they didn't let him rush because, you know, we had Freeney and Claiborne and like a bunch of decent to below average players doing that. I think Vic Beasley's failure is more being out of position, and they didn't do enough to, you know, help him play in position. Like, they – I think John Kaminsky was the first DN they drafted since Tack, and they signed like three.
I don't know. I kind of feel like if you go into a top 10 picks second,
you can't. Year, but again, you keep saying top 10 pick. Top 10 pick does it exactly, but that doesn't really mean anything.
It does.
He would have been a top 10 pick in every draft he went in if he put up his college tape like he did. That is not.
Okay, so is he a top 10 pick or not? Yes. So if you're a top 10 pick, if you have a top 10 pick on your roster in the second season, you have zero expectations from him. At that point, we're doing the same thing that we did last week. Why are we complaining about the player? Why are we complaining about the coaches? It starts at the top, where you have.
All right. Anyway, moving on. We're done here. We can go down later.
I got this. Look, here's why the fans blame Vic. I agree with what you said, Jalen, and I also agree with what Marcus said. Surprisingly, he is a top 10 pick, right? He's a top 10 pick, period. But the fans always are picking on him now because he had that 15-plus sack season, right? So we know that he can get sacks. He can get to the quarterback. We don't need him to have another 15-plus season. We just want to see fucking sacks, like record at least 2, 3, hell, 5 sacks a damn season. You haven't shown it was almost like that season was a fluke. Like there was like a fucking glitch in the simulation. You know what I'm saying? That got him there. And it's like, okay, so are you a fraud? Were you on steroids that season? Like, what's up? Like, why can't you do that again?
Why two can't things? You, well, actually, three things.
That season, but like 2, 3 sacks a season. Like, why haven't we seen any growth from you since then? How's it dropped from 15 to now? What are we at? 0? He hasn't even reported half of
that. He's leading the team in sacks at 1.5, actually. Grady is leading now, but Vic is second with 1.5. Last year, every year, he's averaging about 4.5 sacks a year, besides that 1 year. He had 5 last year. He had 5 sacks last year.
Didn't like and 3 of them come from the Cardinals game?
The same way he got sacks that last year, the same way he got sacks in that 16.5 sack season. You have to watch the tape in order to, you know, understand why things happen.
Yeah, and again, a lot of people were hyping up getting Claiborne back too because he had that 1 6 sack game against whoever.
The Cowboys and that 15th string tackle.
They were like, oh, sack lamb, blah, 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 blah. Adrian Claiborne has 1 sack as well. Tack McKinley has 0.5 sack. So again, when you're slicing up the blame pie for the lack of pass rush and the woes on the defense, I'm not trying to stand for Vic Beasley. I'm not trying to, you know, be a Vic Beasley fanboy, but just kind of that's energy, dog. Like go down the rest of the roster and see what the rest of the team is doing to make this defense better. Now, you could argue that the coaching and the scheme is questionable at best after seeing some of Alan Stark's breakdown, which one of them just had me dying laughing. Like the one where the one that was like a 31-yard gain from a dump out the backfield to run.
Oh, yeah, the David Robinson. That was hilarious.
That was like a Madden glitch defense look. Like, just like the defense was backing up and like there was nobody anywhere near anybody. It's like, bro, like, I ran bad coverage. Why is my person not covering his man? Like, why is he all the way 30 yards across the field? Like, this doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. But again, Vic Beasley just takes all the brunt of the hate from the Falcons fans of the defense. And again, being that he did receive a contract, which again, just like him being a first round pick, he had nothing to do with that. I mean, he did have his play and people rate him that high, but he didn't say, hey, guys, I'm going to be the Falcons pass rush franchise DN. That was our expectations. That's what we like to have. But I mean, it didn't work out that way. Just like 13 mil. Fans didn't want him to get it, but he's like, yo, if they're going to pay me, I'm going to take the bag. You know what I'm saying? I'm just turning down the bag. Just be like, oh, you know what, guys, I'm not worth this money. This team is going to put in my account, but you know, I don't need this money. Give me less money. Like, none of y'all at home are doing that.
Nobody's doing that ever.
Keep the same energy, dog. Like, I'm pretty sure some of you guys going to your job right now aren't worth what you're being paid. Like, it is what it is. So let's lay on Vic Beasley. Hopefully, like we all say, we can get something for him. Anything for him would be great.
Yeah, 2 weeks to gauge the market, I think. I think the deadline is the 29th of October.
Yeah.
So you got 2 weeks to see what happens.
Yeah, and like I said, honestly, be surprised. But again, I would also be surprised if somebody gets him and he actually starts performing well, which would be another huge indictment on the Falcons' defensive staff. So
they're gonna flip a top 10 draft pick for a practice player.
Maybe,
possibly.
but that's great for y'all.
But you can also, you know, use that pick to, you know, make an in-season trade down the line if you need, like, depth or something. Somebody gets hurt, which is, you know, a good thing to have.
I'm sure you trust your GM to do that, though.
You're not, see, you must not have listened well last week, because I definitely said that I kind of want all of them gone. So, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm just going by who's there right now. And
how are you going to go by who's there right now? Like,
the owner said he's not firing Dan Quinn. Like, he hasn't said anything about firing anybody. And
he said this season.
Josh tweeted out an article about Arthur Blank saying he's not firing Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn has, I think, 3 more years on his contract.
Are you sure you read that right? I think he even
right.
said.
He's definitely said.
Joseph Rove. Come on now. Doesn't sound true at all.
I mean, based on their track record, like, do you honestly see Arthur Blank just cleaning house? Like,
yes. Yes. Absolutely. He's done it twice before.
Over 10 years.
He's done it twice before.
But what he didn't have in the past that he has now is a $1 billion stadium that people seemingly don't want to pay for. So they need to get it right, get it tight for these PSLs and to get these fans in the seats, because at the end of the day, the Falcons not being good is hurting the bottom line, which is hurting his pocket.
If you had to be right, at the start of next season, do y'all have a new GM and a new head coach? If you had to be right. If you had to pick.
Yes. I had to be right, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see.
Yes. I would be shocked if both are retained. I mean, I'm almost 100% sure Quinn is gone, but if they're both not gone, I'd be shocked. But, you know, it is what it is. So, speaking of other moves and rumors that are going around, so again, right now, people want the Falcons to be sellers in this market right now. And two names that have come up that I find interesting are Mohamed Sanu and Austin Hooper. So, what are your thoughts on Sanu? Because I have some thoughts. Again, I'm not out here as a Falcons expert. I am not a cap expert. I am not a numbers expert. I'm just going off my thoughts and feelings of what I see with my own two eyes. So, I mean, if you want the super deep analytical stuff, holler at the homie Aaron Freeman. He'll put you on game. But if you want that Twitter bullshit, holler at your boy. But what do you think about Sanu?
Sanu's in the last year of his contract, right?
No, he has another one, technically. He signed five years.
Is it a team option or a player? God damn.
He signed 5 years. 7.5 each year.
Jay, what do you think about rumors of Snoop being dealt?
I think it should have happened last season if they weren't going to cut him. But he's very valuable in the locker room and everything, and he's a fan favorite, so you kind of have to keep him. Well, you had to keep him. But if you're not going to win everything, I think you should do your due diligence and let him go. You're going to cut him this offseason anyway, I would hope, because, you know, he's making $7.5 million and he's probably the fourth best receiver on your roster.
That's crazy, because his targets and catches don't indicate that, but okay.
Yeah, but we know where that goes.
Yeah, we're going to get to that after this. I know, as much as I strongly dislike a player that I will not name that is play the same position, I think Aaron has a sentiment about Sanu. And I think he was advocating for Sanu to be traded last year. And what do you think Sanu's value would be if he were to be traded? Like a fourth rounder, maybe? Fifth rounder?
I think a fifth is a baseline. I don't think you're going to get a fourth for him.
Okay.
I mean, he's getting $7.5 million if you trade him. Why not just, you know, wait till he gets cut and then sign him if you're going to do that?
Yeah. If
you want him, like, this season for, like, the stretch run, then a fifth is about right. He's a slow possession receiver that has very good hands. I mean, you can kind of find that in a tight end. But, you know, if you need to boost your wide receiver group, then that would be a great addition for you.
Giff, what do you think about the prospect of Snoop being dealt?
I mean, it's going to suck because I do like Sanu personally, but if we got to let him go, we just got to let him go. But it's going to suck because I do like him a lot. Do I like him more than Hardy? Yes, since you hate Hardy, just to let the people know. And I hope one day Hardy's mom just jumps in your mentions on Twitter, since she likes to fight people on Twitter, so I can just die laughing.
First of all, on the Hardy thing, and shout out to King Quest, who's back in the chat again, holding the staff. Appreciate you. First of all, I've never said anything inflammatory about Hardy. I just ask questions. I'm not out here advocating for him to get beat up or talking bad about his family. I just ask questions. That's all I do. I ask questions. But yeah, so okay, off Sanu. Everybody, we'd say the baseline is a fifth for him. Earlier, I tweeted out, and again, I've been riding this Austin Hooper thought process for a little while now, just because I've been very bored. But even though I don't think it'll happen, I tweeted out earlier, what would Austin Hooper's trade value be today at this very moment? And 50% of the votes were a first round pick, 44% were a second or third round pick, and 6% said a fourth or fifth round pick. So we'll start with Marcus, who's not a Falcons fan, just to get an outside.
Yes, he is.
Oh, he's a closet Falcons fan. But like, you've seen some of the Falcons game. We obviously played your team, the Indianapolis Colts. What was your impression of Austin Hooper as a tight end?
I mean, he's a solid, good young tight end. I don't know if I would want him as like a top two option on my team. It kind of seems like if he has like a great quarterback and good, other good receivers to kind of take some looks away from him, he can make some plays. But like if you're trading for him, expecting him to be like your Gronkowski or something like that, you're going to be disappointed. But if he's like your third option, that's not bad. And he's young and he's on a good contract. So
that man is really only 24. That's crazy.
Jeff, what do you think?
What was the question again?
If Austin Hooper were to be traded today, what do you think his trade value is? First round pick, second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth?
Second. He's not like the best tight end, but for a tight end, he's very good. He can catch the ball whenever he needs to. I don't think he's had many drops as I've expected, really. So, yeah, I'd say second.
That's he has great hands. I said third or fourth in that poll.
Why?
Draft picks are valuable. And whatever the general consensus is of a player, like on the fan base, you always should go either one or two rounds lower. Same thing with contracts. That's the general rule of thumb, because we think higher of players than most GMs and NFL people do. Mm-hmm. So
you got a point. We do.
Now, his value, I think he can be your second best receiver on your team, like catching wise, not like receiver, obviously, catching wise, and you'd be absolutely straight if you know how to use a tight end. So he'd probably be worth a second, like if we're being like really, really real. But I think if you were going to trade him, you're only going to get like a third or fourth for him. So
it's funny that you mentioned hands, because in my Twitter deep diving through the TL, I came up across some of Gift Queen's old tweets.
Brother.
Wait a minute. Why do we have to do this?
Hey, man, look.
We don't have to do this.
We got to be fair.
This is my past, okay?
To be fair, Hooper, his first year in the league, had very shaky hands. He has drastically cleaned that up.
Aha, yeah, see?
I get that. Players grow. It's just interesting seeing, you know, kind of in real time where people's thoughts, where they change, I think, players and maybe thoughts about players and their value. So, and the reason why I brought this up is because over the last couple of days or last week, the narrative has been going around with Hooper and playing so well that, hey, you know, we're going to have to sign him to a deal and get this contract done. And again, I'm not a capologist, I'm not big on the numbers, but I posed the question on Twitter. And I said, is Hooper great or just a byproduct of Dirk not being able to find ways to use Ridley? If I was a DC, I'd be fine with Hooper eating if that means Ridley and Julio Jones ain't killing us and ultimately we win. My follow-up tweet to that was, Ridley is second to last in the league in targets. That's a problem, question mark. And then I said, I know Ridley is only in his second year. He's only been targeted 10 times twice. Yes, I know Julio Jones commands most of the targets, but the last two seasons, Cooper has been targeted 10 times or more, 4 times for what it's worth. And then, and I said, people are also talking about signing Hooper to a new deal, which I'm not hip to cost, but with a foreseeable regime change in theory, I'm not advocating for this, in theory, would any of y'all be open to trading him for a veteran player on defense or a pick? With the rise of the 3 wide receiver set, or 11 personnel, as the smart people call it, a new offense coordinator or staff or whatever could have a different vision. What are your thoughts on that?
Jaylen. That 3 wide receiver thing you could actually use with a tight end as good as Hooper. There's only like 4 or 5 tight ends in the league you could probably run that with. Hooper, Kelsey, obviously, Evan Ingram in New York, George Kittle, obviously, and then like whoever magically, oh, maybe Eric Ebron, because he's pretty good at route running too. He's huge too. So, because like they're like good route runners too. So, you could pretty much run anything. You can probably run him with the intermediate stuff, the download stuff, and have him clear out stuff, because people have to respect his hand and his rack ability. So, I think he's just legit good. I would pay him. He's probably not going to want like $12 million or anything. He's probably going to want like maybe 6.5. And if you cut to new, then you know that there's your money right there.
Yeah. And the thing that I was thinking is like, as long as he's not getting any like market resetting numbers, then I'm cool with that. But just the buzz, like people, like, oh, we got to resign Hooper. Oh, we got to get Hooper. We got to get him locked up, blah, 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 blah. And usually when I hear that, like wild numbers start coming with that. You know what I'm saying? Because again, agents base their contracts off production, right? And I think they said he's on track for like 1,200 yards.
That man, like 1,298, touchdowns. 8 touchdowns, yeah. And like 100 from the receptions. That is very good.
Yeah, that. And I'm not saying it's not good. Like by counting stats, it's good. But we're 1-5. Not saying that he is a factor in that because he's been doing his best, but I sit here and watch the games, like, damn, like they damn sure know how to get Hooper the ball, but like, why can't they figure out ways to get Ridley the ball? You know what I'm saying? Why can't they find ways to use Julio Jones more efficiently? I mean, we know the answers. I'm just playing devil advocate. But it's like, yo, like, Ridley is way more explosive than Hooper. And you mean to tell me we can't find ways to get him in open space and get him the ball, but we can get Hooper his 100 yards a game receiving and like 8 to 10 or 7, whatever receptions? Like, how is this happening?
Did you say Calvin Ridley was like second to last in the whole NFL in targets?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Well, if that trend continues, then Calvin Ridley is going to be the Vic Beasley of y'all's offense, or he's a first round pick who doesn't produce.
What?
I don't know about that.
Because we know who we're talking about.
Was it Vic Beasley?
Yeah, we're talking about Vic Beasley.
Yeah, Vic Beasley. Like, if you get a wide receiver in the first round and he's putting up those few numbers and he's getting those few targets, that's you're not getting any value there. You got a first round pick that's giving you the value of a 6th round pick.
So, and we'll get back to that. So the king on Twitter, he said, nope, Hooper's legit. He's a tight end friendly situation. Look around the league. He's developed to one of the best at only 24. Contested catches, solid blocker, and now report with Matt. Let's see. And I responded to him saying, I would like to see how his arrival as a quote-unquote premier tight end would look with a competent play calling. And again, I'm always open to be wrong, but I said I'm still not quite convinced, but I'll probably be wrong. I just think if Ridley's getting his, the conversation changes. He's second to last in the league with targets, which is crazy. Then Charles jumped in the conversation. Charles McDonald at 4 Verts, senior NFL writer for the New York Daily News. He jumped in and said, yep, he's been on track for a season like this, and sent me some analytics with the numbers of Austin Hooper's trajectory. And again, I was like, yo, thanks. I'm not a huge numbers guy, but I appreciate the data. But it just really made me realize, like, how bad Derek Carter is if that's the case. You know what I'm saying? It just baffled me. Because if he is what all the fans think he is as this top tight end, like, why are we not, like, scoring kind of at will? And again, we know the answer to this question.
That's a big question this year, huh? Why we don't score every drive?
I'm just thinking okay, Hooper's a baller. Julio Jones, the GOAT. Ridley, I guess he's up and coming, maybe misused. And then you have the emergence of Austin Hooper as a top tight end in the league. And we're down every game. We're struggling to score more than 10 points in the first half, dog. It doesn't
getting make outscored by the Jaguars.
It doesn't make any sense. It just Yeah. So the King
responds. To be fair, I'm pretty sure the Jaguars get more possessions per game than the Falcons do too, just because their defense is really good. But
ours is really
it doesn't make sense.
And the problem is the backup quarterback who's not good.
Hey, Gardner Minshew is decent. I don't think he's some all pro or anything, but he's been tossing some dimes. Not gonna count.
He's just a guy.
Yeah,
we'll see. I think we'll have to see the rest of the season. He's been fine.
Yeah,
from what I've watched.
So the King responded, I think you have a lack of usage issue with Ridley more than the Hooper talent issue. Hooper is legit. Ridley needs more targets, but I have no clue what's going on.
I know what's going on. We're running 22 every possession.
Yeah, so and again, I kind of pose this looking for people to disagree with me so I can kind of figure out some of the nuances in this conversation. But one guy tweeted me, I wish I could find his ad, but he was pretty much saying Hooper was critical to the Falcons in that Super Bowl run. I'm
he kind of was. At towards the end, he kind of was. Because whatchamacallit, Sanu wasn't really doing anything well. Hooper, I think he finished that season with 686 yards as a rookie. Three touchdowns, something like that. Or 455 or something like that. I have that here, so. Yeah, he was very good, especially in the playoffs. He was very, very good.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
Would you? All right. Shout out to the homie. This is the revolt, right? He responded, Hooper, this is the dude, Jesse Check got garnished. This is the revolt. He said, Hooper put in time and energy to get better. He basically lives with Ryan on the offseason. Ryan himself is also better with a good tight end. The Super Bowl run doesn't happen without Hooper. My response to that was, I'm not sure about that. So without looking it up, Jalen, how many receptions do you think Austin Hooper had his rookie year?
23.
How many yards do you think he had?
286.
I thought you just said 600.
I was just trying to see what you were going to say.
So this critical piece of the offense in the Kyle Shanahan run Super Bowl season record-setting offense, Austin Hooper had played 16. He played 14 games, started three, had 19 receptions, 271 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
Well,
so he averaged less.
You kind of have to kind of look at that in a a spectacle, because that was the year we had Jacob Tammy. Remember?
Okay,
he was a starter.
Okay, and that goes to my next point, and this is where the kind of value for his the value for him trade wise goes. So in theory, if you could get value for him now, because it's the highest it's ever going to be, I think, or it could be. I don't know. Just speculating, but. Like you said, we had a Jacob Tammy who wasn't a world beater, but still got the job done with the right offense coordinator. We need more than a little bit of help on defense. We need a lot of help.
The most vital person to the Falcons Super Bowl run is the head coach in San Francisco.
That and the MVP quarterback. But yes, I understand.
Yeah, but you kind of see the my train of thought. It's again.
You're saying he's good, but he's probably not worth the money if you can find somebody who can do that for less with good coordinator.
Not even that. It's just we need. All right, so I get y'all's thought process with wanting an offensive-minded head coach, right? That's the big thing for the Falcons fans. We need an offensive-minded head coach. Blase. We need Lincoln Riley or whatever hot name comes up. That's great. And we understand that's what got us to the Super Bowl, but ultimately our defense not being able to get a few key stops, which again, I know that one catch by that one guy was extremely lucky, probably.
Man, don't even bring that up, bro. Every time I see that thing, I'm just like, bro, God really hates the Falcons. There is no way. There is no way. If you run that play back 100,000 times, does that happen?
No, that doesn't happen. But again, a lot of the people like the troll Falcons fans is like, hey, that game wasn't lost in the regulation. It was lost in overtime because the defense couldn't get a stop. So I get the offense is what got you there, but we ultimately, what are we complaining about? We need a pass rush. We need sacks. We need veteran leadership on defense. If we could, if there was a way in some sort of fantasy world that we could make that happen and start acquiring those pieces to build a more well-rounded, solid team with the right staff, I wonder why people wouldn't be open to it, if that makes sense.
I mean, I did rewatch, like, they did a YouTube series on, like worst blown games or whatever, and they did it on the Super Bowl, obviously. And, like, looking back on it, like, the Falcons' offense wasn't that great. They only put up 21 points in that game, right?
Shout out to Robert Alford with that pick six.
Pick six.
And everybody went his ass about the paint and went at Oliver in there. And
well, yeah, they weren't in quote unquote that good, but they also had a bunch of untimely things go wrong at like every quarter. And then the Patriots really also ran ball control. They really their first possession of the third quarter went like 8 minutes or something. And then the second one went like 9. And then they just bled the clock out every time after that.
I thought you were gonna say this for being able to sit there.
I watched it three times, bro.
Jesus Christ.
Dog, I can't do it. Dog.
Jesus Christ.
How?
Bro. How could you watch it three times?
Because I don't have a heart or emotions, so.
Clearly.
I watched it the first time live. I watched it the second time for analysis and to pretty much start the offseason, because at that time I was like writing for some people and doing some film on it. So I had to watch it again just to make sure. And I watched it the third time just to, you know, confirm everything, you know, because I miss Kyle Shanahan. But that's another story.
Yeah. So back to what I was kind of saying, it was like, I'm just saying, like, where is this team going? Like, it's the issue that we kind of have is that in recent Falcons, this recent incarnation of Falcons, most of our resource and money has been invested in the offense, right? And again, you don't want to do anything to make that step back because obviously the strength of our team. But at the same time, we need to get things done, to get them done quickly and efficiently. If there's guys out there through free agency or maybe a guy that, hey, we really need this piece through the draft and we can make things happen, trade pieces. Just like I said, who is untouchable on the Falcons? Outside of, I've seen some weird lists, but outside of like Matt.
There is 7 people untouchable, and that's it.
I was just going to say Grady Jarrett for me. Grady Jarrett and Julio Jones.
There are 7 people on the Falcons roster, entire roster, untouchable.
Shoot.
I mean, unless you're giving unless you're like willing to give like first round picks, you have Jake Matthews, Chris Lindstrom, Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, Grady Jarrett, Deion Jones, and in my opinion, Desmond Trufant. That's it.
Oh, you did the same thing this other guy did. So Mac is not untouchable.
Well, he's 34, coming off 3 injuries, and he's already declining to play. He's definitely not untouchable.
I've said that. I think it was last year on an episode. I watched one. He was getting hit up by somebody. It might have been.
If it was any time this last 2 weeks, he is pretty much dealing with like he's playing with one arm. He has like a. He literally messed up his entire elbow like a couple games ago. He should have. He technically really should not be playing, but you know he's playing it out.
Yeah, I saw my like last season. If I'd have been against like the Panthers, somebody was giving him the business. I was like, "Oh my god, dog! Like you look like a turnstile," and I'm like, "I get that," but somebody tweeted that like, "Oh, he's old." I'm like, "Yeah, I get that," but I would let him run his course. But that's not stopping you from looking at people in the draft or free agency as a replacement whenever that time comes. But I get that. But that's an interesting thought. I ultimately would like to see this Falcons team reincarnated at some point with the emphasis being on the defense, like having resources there and having people over there to make things a lot easier for an offense that doesn't necessarily need to be as high powered on paper as ours should be, because that's obviously not getting us anywhere for reasons that we know. And, you know, we're going to talk about this now. Dirk Cotter. So what this season has taught me, and again, as a sports fan or football fan, I try to learn stuff every year. Again, I've said this before, I'm not an expert. I learn every day. This has taught me, this has been a good exercise on what good offense coordination can do for a team versus not so good, incompetent, terrible, bad, trash. Because again, with Kyle Shanahan, I know Falcons fans are probably sick of hearing his name, but I mean, it is what it is. We have this is we're tethered to this for the end of time. And so either we win a Super Bowl or he wins Super Bowl, then we get flame for him leaving and winning one. But what we saw with him is probably, which is kind of scary to say, because if we get somebody else, this is where having a better defense is going to help us win, is that it's probably the most output or the most we're ever going to get out of these Falcons player offensively, right? Unless somebody mm-hmm. else out there is just as good or better, which, knock on wood, that's available for us when the time comes. But he has showed us with these players, with probably a lesser roster, because we don't have this developed Austin Hooper now that he didn't have, that an offense coordinator can either make or break your team. Because this offense is extremely too talented, skill position-wise, to be having the struggles that we have. And that ties back to Dirk Cotter. I will admit I was wrong. I was one of the people that were like, hey, you know what, continuity, Dirk Cotter, Matt's comfortable with them, yada, 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 this should be a smooth transition. That was a terrible decision. Terrible.
Yeah, you weren't the only one.
Pull up my tweets, flame me, please roast me, because that I'm learning, like, hey, man, that's no retreads, no more retreads.
Hell, people were saying that. They were just like, oh, it Falcons offense going to get back on track because they're used to Dirk Cotter. And
but to be fair, after having 2 years of Steve Sarkisian, it's like, man, we got to get another offense coordinator. Like, in theory, anybody would think, like, hey, all right, this person that we know, there should be a smoother transition versus somebody, you know, brand new.
Right.
You
know what I'm saying? Well, I was going
to say another. I'm sorry, continue.
No, I was just going to ask, is Kyle Shanahan the best coach, like, in Falcons history? Is he the most talented coach y'all have ever had?
Probably.
And y'all just let him walk.
Again, well, that's so you can't. You're thinking it in like a really broad situation, and it's just not how it is.
Bad take. He already.
It was a bad take. Y'all let him walk.
We
coming off of a Super Bowl. Who fires their head coach after a Super Bowl? One where the defense played extremely well all playoffs, especially when he took over. And the head coach wanted to go to San Francisco. We either could have denied that or just let him do what he wanted to do. And we told him he could do what he wanted to do. Well, that wasn't the thing. It would either let him be the head coach of the team or he was going to go to San Francisco because he wanted his own team. And again, you just went to the Super Bowl. You just had a historic year. You just don't fire your head coach right there. That's just stupid. Everybody would have been outraged if they fired him.
Coaches have been the one seed in the playoffs and gotten fired the next year. Like, that's not – you're not untouchable.
We went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's a different
– I mean, we were one play from winning it.
If you tell me, like, hey, you can either keep a coach that got you to the Super Bowl or keep the best coach you've had in your franchise history, like, okay, be mad for a week, but then you realize, like, hey, we upgraded in our coaching position, like – Falcons fans would have got over Dan Quinn fired if the Falcons would have rolled out the next year putting up 35 points a game.
Like, okay, but also
no one's picketing for Dan Quinn.
Okay, but also people would have invested more in Apple had they knew it was going to become what it was.
It's like, all hindsight.
Yeah, hindsight is 2020. Like, that's cool saying that now, but we just hired Dan Quinn. He just took us to the Super Bowl.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Let's not act like people weren't giving Kyle Shanahan his props while he was in Atlanta, because that offense was historically great, like top 10 all time. It wasn't just like, oh, Kyle Shanahan left. Wow, did you see how great that Falcons offense was? They were really good. I didn't realize that. No, people were giving that Falcons that offense credit during that time because they were putting up like the 2001 Rams numbers. You know what I'm saying? Like, people
okay.
And then the quarterback won the MVP. So it's like, wow, Matt Ryan is really stepped up. What has changed here?
Okay, that's cool. But what about the first season we had with Shanahan? Let's not forget about that season.
Woo, it was horrible.
Did we go on like a 6-game losing streak or something like that?
We started off like 4-0 or something like that, and then lost 6 straight games.
And people were like, "Oh, why Shanahan had Matt Ryan bootlegging out? He doesn't know how to use the team." Blah blah blah. Like, come on, guys. Like, we can't omit the past. Like, things didn't happen. So you look at it, it's like, hey, it's a 50-50. He might be great. You know, his first year was bad. Like, the league has ebbs and flows. Like, Chip Kelly came in like a bat out of hell with his offense, and now he's out the league.
You know what I'm saying? Like 1 year, though, because he brought in the college stuff. That lasted 1 year.
Okay, well,
Chip Kelly was never an historic offense, though. Was
he? Kyle Shanahan hadn't been good until he got Matt Ryan and Julio Jones.
Exactly.
Like, I wouldn't say that, but
he was a historic, great offensive coordinator. Like, he led a historic offense. You just don't let that walk.
Kyle Shanahan in Washington with RG3 was completely
horrible.
Okay, no.
Whoa, he hold on a second.
Extremely good. Yeah, he was extremely good.
RG3 was balling.
RG3 was looking like the next best thing with Kyle Shanahan, bro.
RG3 was like a top 5 player with Kyle Shanahan leading him until he got hurt.
Yeah.
That's as a rookie.
Horribly mismanages his injury.
Yeah, and then they completely ruined everything.
That's not on Kyle Shanahan. That's and on then, the head coach and the training staff and whoever.
Remember when Redskins fans were sending him and his wife all those gifts and stuff? That was funny.
I just don't see how you let the coordinator that led a top 10 offense ever, you let that guy walk. I don't know how you do that.
Okay.
But, I know how you let that happen because, you know, Arthur Blank doesn't really
seem okay. To care. Anyways.
See, Jaleesa from Sports and Bullshit, this is what you wanted. You asked for this. So when you turn it off right now, I just want you to know you're the one that asked for this to happen. Okay, so this is all your fault. Oh, everyone brother. That knows Jaleesa _Nicole on Twitter or the Sports and Bullshit podcast, go flame her because she's the one that wanted to hear Marcus's thoughts on everything. So now here we are.
Where's the lie, though?
Thoughts and being
where tortured. Am I wrong at?
Tortured.
Where am I wrong at, though?
Well, how many times do we have to say this? How many times?
How am I wrong?
How many times we got to say the same thing? Dan Quinn. What was this? Second year? We're not going to fire the man. Period. What's the next subject?
Well, and we also...
What were we talking about before all this anyway?
I have no clue.
We were talking about Austin Hooper, and then it went to Dirk.
So bad as an offensive coordinator. But you also have to look at it like this. He also probably gave us the best, 2 drafts we'd had in recent history, too? I think that might have factored into it as well.
Absolutely. Those were extremely good drafts.
Yeah.
Every single pick in those drafts is still playing on the team now, beside like 2. And 2 of them were like, and 2 of them had like a drug problem. Well, one of them had a drug problem, and the other one had like, another one was just, I think it hurt, so they cut him. And they signed someone else.
Mr. PED, who went to the Colts.
And can't sniff the end of the bench, yeah.
Drug problem, yep. I remember everyone told me they were like, why did he get cut? And I said he took PEDs again, and I had over 100 mentions of people calling me a liar. They said, well, he would never do that. Like, why would he do that again and risk his career? People flamed.
And then it came out like a minute later that he did it.
Exactly. Fuckers called me all types of names, and then I turned out to be right, and then none of y'all wanted to cover my mentions, so I had to go into yours. Don't try me again, ever in life.
So real quick before we bounce to something else, King Quest 10, he wants to know y'all's thoughts on Campbell. So, Devondre Campbell, he has been...
Don't get me started.
Bro, he's been wilding on Twitter, which I can't necessarily say it's wilding because people be wilding at him, so he's gonna wild.
Yeah, they deserve everything he tells them.
So what are you guys' thoughts on Campbell? Like, I have nothing.
I got this. Okay.
Oh, brother.
Shut up. So, y'all only at that man because he responds. Like, if he wasn't responding, y'all wouldn't keep antagonizing him. And for those of you to cry after he claps back at you, really need to just, I don't know, get a life. Like, you can't attack someone and then when they get you back in a way that hurts your little feelings, well, you shouldn't have been, you know, playing with the big dogs or whatever. Campbell is not, he's not good. And if he wants to tweet through the pain, then let him tweet through the pain. If he wants to at everybody that ats him, then I guess that's his prerogative. If I was playing and I was him and I was playing like shit, I would not log on Twitter at all. But if that's what he wants to do, then go ahead. I mean, shit, you can't stop a grown man from getting on playing like shit and then getting on Twitter and going after people that go after him. So he needs to go. He needs to, you know, be cut unless he magically somehow gets better in these next, what, 11 games that we have to go. So that's my take on it.
Jaylen? I guess I can go now. Campbell, the guy who came out the gates hot, had another excellent year and has been every game getting steadily worse, which I didn't think it was possible, but yeah, just I've been saying since I think like last year I was on an episode and I said I think he's going to be the odd man out because he's not been good. But at this point, I think it's a foregone conclusion. He shouldn't even get a contract. He shouldn't even get like an offer. They should tell him on the last game, it was nice to have you and all, but we will not be renewing your contract and I don't ever want to see you here again unless we're playing against you. Like, that is just wild how far he's fallen for somebody who was that big, that strong, that fast. Like, he should not be playing as bad as he is.
Well, again, that might also be an indictment on the defensive scheme, coordinators, coaches, all that. Because again, the entire defense looks bad.
You know, but for him, the thing is about the defense this year is I don't think the entire defense has looked like bad. But when one person messes something up, then the whole thing will get messed up. That's kind of the thing with the way this defense is played. So, like, if Campbell is messing up his entire responsibility, like on that 31-yard pass, that was definitely his fault. If he's in the right spot, that goes for 5 yards and, you know, it's a third down. If he just does the right things more times than he doesn't, then the whole defense would look at least somewhat better. And that's goes for, like, the four players who constantly just mess everything up. I don't know if they are confused or if they just don't know what they're looking at or something, but especially Campbell, who had the green dot for a part of the season when Deion was out. Like, he should know what is going on. He just doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, but doesn't that, and again, I know coaches coach and players play, but isn't that kind of indictment on the coaching? Like, if
I don't know how much of it could be on the coaching. Like, if I tell you he's going to run to the right, and he runs to the right, but you say, nah, he's not running to the right. He's running down the middle. I don't know how much else I can help you.
There is so much you can help you. Bench his ass. Like, hey, dude, like, you're not
listening. Yeah, I agree. He should absolutely be benched. He should definitely be put on special teams. Put that man as a protector or something on punt team, and don't let him touch the field until he decides to figure out what he wants to do. I am completely fine with that. There are plenty of linebackers on that team that I think can – very much do what he does and do it a lot better.
Okay.
All right. But then again, you know, you can't really do that as Dan Quinn because, you know, you're fighting for your job. You want to go with your most, you know, proven player. So he's kind of like stuck there,
I guess. So, I mean, at that point, I think you could, if it's a foregone conclusion like most fans think it is, at that point you just throw whatever against the wall and see what sticks, because what you're doing now is not working. Like, you have nothing to lose by playing other guys at this point.
Oh, speaking of that, so speaking of playing other guys at this point, since we're playing the Rams on Sunday,
No, we're not about to play Matt Schaub.
Shut the fuck up. Like I was saying, since we're playing the Rams on Sunday and we're going against Aaron Donald, I would like to put in Matt Schaub. Okay? Two reasons. One, it's Aaron Donald. And I don't want Matt Ryan, you know. I'm not even going to say the words. But y'all know what I'm getting at. Two, at this point, what do we really have to lose? It's not like our defense is magically going to get better. Actually, they might, because they like to play good against really good teams. So they might. But, I mean, we don't have anything to lose at this point. This season is just, you know, a shit show. So why not just put in Schaub? And the backup quarterbacks seem to be, like, the new magic for this season, like, across the league. So I say we should put in Schaub. Okay? Yep.
That's every backup quarterback that has done well this season has been backed up by, like, a very good defense. So.
Well, what if we magically do well? I'm just saying, just for this game, because we have nothing else to lose. I mean, see, like, we don't have anything else
to lose. Nah, I kind of want Matt to break history.
We got two more games to play after that. So,
also, as a fan paying whatever fans that are left showing up, they're not paying to come see Matt Schaub.
Okay, first of all, nobody's showing up.
There's going to be people. There ain't not going to be zero people in the seats. There's going to be a clean 1,000, 2,500, something at least.
You know, maybe 10 people will show up. But I see people literally giving away tickets. Like Steve, shout out to Dream Chaser on Twitter. His client gave him his tickets.
Shout out to us. We gave out tickets.
Yeah, I gave away, we gave away a ticket. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are literally giving away tickets, and people are trying to sell tickets for like $25. And if you miss the ticket giveaway, well, it sucks for you. Next time, put on our fucking notifications so you can know when the next giveaway is going to be, because we'll give away tickets sometimes and free merch. So, yeah, if you snooze, you lose, and that's not our problem. And we're not fucking, what's it called? I'm going to say cheaters. I use a random name generator thing online. So that picks the name. Everybody's name goes in there. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Put in a fucking Schaub. Nobody's going to the games, like I just said. But they'll be fine with whoever's out there. Most people are probably going to get drunk off those fucking $4 or $5 beers anyway.
What kind of history is Matt Ryan able to make if he plays?
If he gets 300 yards, he'd be the only quarterback in history to go, like, I think 7 straight games with 300 yards.
Oh.
Yeah, it's nothing like too big, but it is history nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's where we're at in this season.
What is that supposed to mean?
I mean, like, at this point, like, I hope you guys are paying attention to college football also.
Oh, man. You know what? You're right, because that is where we're at. Because going to one of the things I want to touch on real quick was the shout out to Tico Hive. So the Atlanta Falcons, they posted their Twitter page gets sadder and sadder by the day. But they posted a video talking about Freeman Eaton, right? I was like, oh, yeah, showing Freeman some love or whatever. But, like, in the bottom right-hand corner, they were showing his fantasy points. I was like, God damn, dog. Like, can we just let him eat? Like, it's to a point now. It's like, hey, Falcons fans, if he's on your fantasy team, he did great, even though he lost the game 1-5. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn.
I think they do that with every, like, decently big game. Because okay. I know they did it last year. I know they did it with Julio and Calvin this year against the Eagles, too. But they did it. Obviously, on Julio's 300 game, they did it last year when Julio had like 150 or something. Well, they do it every time somebody has a big game.
I thought for the 300 game, they just showed his like his every catch in yards. Like, hey,
they did that, but they also added the fantasy points to it.
Oh, okay, I didn't notice it. Maybe because when we're losing, it just looked very bad. I was like, man, that's sad, man. That's very sad. But shout out to the Tico Hive, because I saw all these tweets on Twitter where it's like, oh, I miss Tevin Coleman. We love Tevin Coleman. We should have kept him. We waived Tevin Coleman for free. I was like, nah, come on. And it was because 2 weeks ago, Tevin Coleman scored a touchdown against the Browns, right? And again, I could have scored a touchdown against the Browns defense, apparently, because like they were getting ran the hot knife through butter. But the following week, when Freeman actually has a pretty good game, even though we still lost, I saw maybe five, maybe a handful of tweets praising Freeman, say, hey, Freeman had a good game, you know, shout out to Free, blase, blase. And again, I might be petty for this, but I search tweets. Like it is what it is. I'm going to search your tweets or whatever. And it was kind of quiet for the Tico Hive. And even more quiet for Freeman when he had a good game, which I find kind of interesting, which I can't understand. So Tevin Coleman last week had 18 carries for 45 yards, 2.5 yards per carry, even though those are fake stats or whatever, but one touchdown. While Freeman had a 19 for 88, 4.6, and then he had 3 receptions, 30 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Like one of the homies... Matter of fact, one of the homies was tweeting Freeman like he slept with his mom. Like he was just tweeting slander after slander after slander after slander. But on game day, I see not one positive tweet when Freeman was scoring touchdowns and running like the old Freeman. So I need you guys to check yourself, keep that same energy, and don't be mad if your tweets get exposed because you tweeted them, not me. Like don't be out here capping and acting stupid and they get mad when somebody tells you about yourself. Because it's just a reflection of your foolishness. So, shouts to Tico Hive. I hope y'all doing good out there. You know, gang, gang, all that good stuff. But yeah, that was my take on that.
I feel like at some point we should just like slowly start transitioning this podcast into a Atlanta United podcast. So people So they can have something positive to talk about and listen to because like the Falcons obviously are falconing. And the Bulldogs did what they do every year. And the Hawks, like, I know people are excited about the Hawks, but just get ready for it because it's happening. Whatever you think, all the positivity that you think is coming with the Hawks, it's not going to happen, guys. I'm sorry. Like, Trae Young is fine, but don't get your hopes up. This team is probably not going to the playoffs. So let's just talk about the only team in the state of Georgia that actually wins something.
All right, real quick, let me read these tweets from this guy. His name is at Elay_3. Todd Gurley, one leg, is better than Devontae Freeman. Freeman is so bad. Goddamn, boy. Again, I'm taking Mark Ingram over Devontae Freeman. Freeman ain't it, dog. Ito should be RB1, in my opinion. But again, the day Freeman actually plays really good and outplays Tevin Coleman, he was tweeting stuff about Coleman as well. Crickets. Dead silence. I'm like, come on, dog. Like, what are we doing, dog? Like, what did that man do to you? Like, do you need to DM him? Like, y'all need to have a personal talk, but just stop capping, bro. Just like really.
Oh God. Jalen Ramsey's playing on Sunday.
I've been that.
Yeah.
I just found out.
Like, I'm not gonna lie, that was the one game I plan on going to, which I'm not going anymore. Was the Falcons and Jags. I used to live in Jacksonville. I have a lot of friends that are Jaguars fans. Shout out to ACP. I was going to go check out the game because I haven't been to the new stadium yet because I wanted to see. That was a matchup I was looking forward to see was Ramsey versus Julio. But now the Falcons is a dumpster fire. Yeah. This, it ain't
hot ass.
Oh, my God.
Hot ass.
So one of the last things I have for the podcast regarding Jalen Ramsey is Falcons Dirty Bird review tweeted, nothing would make me happier than Julio putting up 150 on the touchdown on Ramsey on Sunday. And my response to that was PS4 or Xbox One.
Don't get it twisted. It very well could happen.
It could. But who's going to give Which one of our linemen are going to stop Aaron Donald long enough for Matt Ryan to wind up and throw it that deep for Julio to get off?
What do you mean, bro? We have the Aaron Donald kryptonite, Wes Schweitzer. Relax.
What, a gun?
Okay, no, I'm completely joking on that, but of all the people that we like, we played Aaron Donald 3 times since Wes has been on the roster, and Wes has easily been the hardest matchup for Donald, which is crazy, but that's literally how it's been.
Okay, let me ask you this: Would you bet your half on the rent that that's going to happen?
Oh, absolutely not. But you know, it can happen. I wouldn't bet my half of the rent on anybody stopping Aaron Donald. Period. So. Of course not. Nobody on our team. Like, come on, bro. What are you taking me for, an idiot?
Yeah, and this kind of goes back to where Ramsey had his little GQ interview where he was calling out, you know, players, and he called out Matt Ryan or whatever. So a lot of fans want to see us get a bench.
He called him overrated?
He called him overrated.
Yeah.
He said he was made by the Kyle Shanahan scheme, and yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's not do that. Matt Ryan had history before Kyle Shanahan and Julio Jones stopped.
Matt Ryan could have been an MVP last season too. If Pat Mahomes wasn't a god, but you know.
Madden curse. The Madden curse is
chill,
real.
Bro. We're not talking about my son like that.
It's real.
How are you an MVP candidate if you miss the playoffs?
I'm saying he could have been. I didn't say he was. I said he could have been. If we're kind of based on counting stats, he put up 38 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 4,900 yards, like 114 quarterback rating and like a 90 something passing rating. I mean, 114 passing rating, and like a 90.9 quarterback rating. He was extremely good last year. He was probably a top 3 quarterback last year based on, you know, stats and play, but obviously they missed the playoffs, so it didn't really matter. I'm not saying he should have won MVP. I'm saying if they had a winning record and Pat Mahomes wasn't a freaking god, then he definitely would have been in the conversation.
Yeah, it's hard to have that much value when you're missing the playoffs.
That's cap.
Oh, alrighty. So
Lisa's fault again.
So Marcus, what are your closing words? What would you like to say the Falcons fans to know this week? What are your thoughts? What do you think about the game? That'll be your closing thoughts. What do you think is going to happen this week?
Oh, yeah. I think Julio Jones is going to have a great game. He's going to put up a ton of yards. He'll probably have, like, I'm going to say he'll have at least 2 touchdowns, and the Falcons will probably lose 48-14.
That's fair. What do you think?
Did he just say Julio's going to have a lot of touchdowns and then we're going to lose 48-14?
Yeah, I said he'll have 2 touchdowns. Those 2 touchdowns will come in the fourth quarter.
I thought you said a lot. DBs. Did he say a lot?
He said a lot of yards, a few touchdowns.
He said a lot of yards and a few touchdowns. 14 points. Like, make it make sense. I'm so confused. Like,
bring in the smoke.
Did I fail math class? Like, since when is 2 touchdowns a lot of touchdowns?
2 touchdowns is 14 points. Like, that's what I said.
You said a lot.
Can you see the screen of what King Quest said to you, sir?
Yeah, the last 2 times. The last 2 times the Colts have played the Falcons, they beat them with Jacoby Brissett and Matt Hasselbeck. So, our 2 backup quarterbacks. Yeah.
We were actually
the replay, you cowards.
Yeah, me and Marcus were at that game. Yeah.
And you know what else is crazy?
Free white. Free white.
You know what else is crazy real quick about Falcons fans compared to like Colts fans? Like last year, the Colts were also 1-5. They went 1-5. They started the season 1-5 and finished 10-6, getting to the second round of the playoffs. The Falcons right now are 1-5 and talking about having a fire sale.
You know what it is? Like, no cap or anything, but the AFC is drastically easier than the NFC to make the playoffs. And
yeah, because we don't have
the y'all offensive line stayed healthy like 95% of the season.
We don't have Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Deshaun Watson. We don't have to worry about those guys. Yeah,
that's 4 teams.
Playoffs.
That's four teams. What about you don't have, let's say, Drew Brees? You don't have
Teddy Bridgewater. We don't have to worry about Teddy Bridgewater. The behemoth of Teddy Bridgewater coming down.
You're talking like Teddy Bridgewater is not going to be playing in like 2 weeks. But anyways, you have a lot more talent in the NFC than you do in the AFC. The AFC has been won. I think Justice Mosqueda, or Jew Boss on Twitter, has said every year that the AFC AFC championship game have been the home for literally four quarterbacks over the last like 15 years. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, and I think one other player that I do not remember because it was like one time. That was it. So yeah, it's easier to make that. And again, your offensive line stayed healthy for most of the season, and y'all had a young star in on defense. I had actually a pretty decent defense. Two things that I cannot say about the Falcons.
We have a good GM.
All right, Giff, what are your closing thoughts?
I don't fucking know. Maybe. Ooh, I'll say what I said on Twitter that pissed a lot of people off. Maybe, right, we're playing bad on purpose for these last games. And now everything is going to turn around and we're going to win like 9 games.
Please don't. Okay?
And then we're going to make the playoffs. And then Vic's going to be re-signed. And everybody's going to stay. DQ's going to stay as the DC and head coach. And then TD's going to stay. And it's going to be like a big happy family again. And y'all can stop arguing on Twitter about the same shit every day and making up bullshit like y'all do on a daily basis to piss each other off for no good reason, because that's all y'all like to do on Twitter is annoy the fuck out of each other, and we can become a happy family again.
I'm letting you know right now, if any of that happens that you just said, I'm Thanos snapping myself away immediately. anything short of a Super Bowl this season, if they do anything like that, I'm Thanos snapping myself away, and I would erase every tweet with me even replying to any Falcon player about anything. I swear.
That's a lot of work.
Exactly, and I'm willing to do it to rid myself of the stench of it.
They have absolutely do that. Shout out to King Quest. He said that Falcons fans wouldn't boo our quarterback, but anywho, yeah, shout out to everybody.
Yes, they do.
They have. They booed Matt Ryan.
85% of the fan base hates him because he's not black.
Just today, they're trying to get Matt Ryan out of the paint. And they don't boo Matt Ryan. They don't boo Matt Ryan because they're not at the game.
Say that again, because some of these people really be talking a lot of shit and they haven't gone to one game. Not even like a Tim did. Don't even go to the tailgates or anything.
No, I already told you. Not getting my money this year. Sorry, Arthur.
Not getting my money anytime soon.
Not getting it, bro. It's not gonna happen. But yeah, appreciate y'all checking us out. Trying to figure out the whole live stream thing to get you guys in here so we can talk in real time. So no, a lot of you got takes on Twitter, but I want to see if y'all can actually handle those takes in real time, like somebody kind of checking you a little bit better. So. But appreciate y'all checking us out. This is the Durbin Nation Report, the unofficial podcast about this Twitter. We out. Peace.
Better luck next time, King Quest.
He gonna get you.